You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we head to the Florida-Georgia district to continue our series in getting to know the Council of Presidents.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Joining us today, the Reverend James Rocky. He serves as president of the Florida-Georgia district of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor Rocky, thanks for joining us today on The Coffee Hour.
Good morning, and it's my joy to join you.
So the Getting to Know the Council of Presidents series includes a fun segment called the Lightning Round. We get to ask you rapid fire questions about your favorite things. Hopefully you're telling us truthful things, but you could make them up. Honestly, you could make them
know.
Up if you, we wouldn't know the difference.
You should expect nothing else from the Council of Presidents. So
I'm starting to learn that.
All right. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Let's see how many points you can earn in this round. No, I'm just kidding. There are no points. All right. Favorite color?
Green. New life.
Aha. Favorite cuisine?
Seafood. Pretty much anything seafood, especially if I catch it myself.
Bonus points.
Yeah.
All right. Favorite book, and we know that you love the Bible and the Lutheran Confession, so you can add to that.
How about something of a older nature I've been drawn back to, which is a little short book called Prayer by O'Halesby, and just because right now really being drawn into the vital importance of us going before the throne of God's grace and laying all of our needs and hopes and plans and mission and work before Him. So O'Halesby, Prayer.
Okay, that answer has not come up yet. I'm intrigued, but we'll come back to that. Mm-hmm. Favorite office supply? It's a very important question.
Wow. Everything depends on this answer.
It's true.
You know, everything is almost bound on top of your computer these days, and so seldom. How about paper to print what I do need to print? That's basically who I've got to get down to.
All right. Favorite dessert?
I would have to say strawberry shortcake, particularly if they're homemade shortcake like mom made.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, you guys are getting hungry. It's almost lunchtime there.
Favorite vacation destination?
It won't surprise you. The beach and saltwater fishing, you know, where it's warm, where you get to enjoy the wonders of God's creation along the seas.
All right, next one's like asking your favorite child. My apologies. Favorite hymn?
I'll give you two. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. It just rings really not only how I think my day I strive to have it begin, but it takes me back to childhood and beautiful singing in church. And then a contemporary would be Great Are You, Lord. Yeah.
Very good. Solid choices. And favorite time of day?
Well, I'm a late night person. I work often to midnight because it's quiet. I can process, think with no interruptions. And yet I absolutely love the morning. I love mercies new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. So the opportunity for a new day and a new beginning, I'm drawn to the morning first.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
All right, Pastor Rocky. I think you passed the lightning round. Congratulations. You can move on to the next round.
And you can send my check to our Commission Advancement Initiative.
So where did you grow up?
Right here in Florida, Gainesville, about 2 hours from our district office.
Wow. Tell us more about the community where you grew up.
Gainesville is a university city, home of the Florida Gators. Unfortunately, right now, I'd probably be touting, look at how they started off in the March Madness, but an amazing Lutheran congregation that was both a town gown, very dynamic with student ministry, young adults, large. I mean, my confirmation class, 28, 30 students, pastors who truly loved the Lord. They were passionate about the mission of Christ and raising up workers, both the priesthood of believers, but workers to enter into service to the Lord. And every year we had a vicar, so they had a great influence. Matter of fact, a number of those were almost literally adopted into our household as I grew up. where my mom was doing the laundry for them, and they would eat dinner with us if they weren't somewhere else. I had a lot of people through that that had a great influence on shaping me into who I am.
So tell us more about growing up in that area and the path that led you to seminary.
One of the things I'm drawn to these days, particularly as we are striving to plant more and more seeds for the Spirit to lead people as to his will for maybe serving the church, whether in full-time church work or just living out their vocation more actively, is the fact that I had a pastor and vicars who were joy-filled. They loved what they did. They loved their Lord. And, you know, when you look to them, it wasn't this burden. Not that there weren't times I had insights where there were challenges, but there was this great love for his mission and honoring him and joy in serving him. So that had a huge impact. My oldest brother's 10 years older than I. And when I was about 7, he went off to college and studied to be a Lutheran pastor. So, you know, he too was one that I looked up to. And then I can truly remember kind of the Lord kind of planting that in my heart somewhere when I was around 8 or so years of age, when the Concordia College choir from Austin came to our church and sang. And I kind of laid out my life plan, and that included being a pastor and married and 3 kids and all that kind of stuff. Most of that came true. I only have 2 children, though. And so I went off to college to study to prepare for ministry, but I also did a bachelor's in communications as well as all the pre-seminary requirements. And then just, you know, since I'm here, I'll just throw it in. I kind of took the life training course. I was accepted in 85 to St. Louis, but did not go. I just wasn't at peace over it. And just decided to wait for the Lord to make that clear, his timing. So I worked for the state of Texas for a couple of years, and then Allstate hired me, and I was a claims adjuster and then a claims manager. And so all that kind of is fed into some of the life skills and people skills and personnel and management and such that God kind of used to help me be the servant leader that I am.
Tell us about that. When you went to seminary, tell us about that formation, your experience there. What are your maybe favorite memories from seminary or favorite class?
Well, you know, going second career, had my heart was fully in it. My back, for me, it was my job. And so I was blessed to be able to really immerse myself fully so that I could fully benefit from both the classwork, the reading, the molding and shaping that happens through working, studying, and such with one's classmates, as well as professors and staff and all. But I'm very much a Bible study. Small groups had a tremendous impact in furthering my knowing God was calling me into ministry, how he molds and shapes and continues that process of sanctification. So I'm very much always know that really my heart is, how do we share what gives us such great joy? How do we share the joy of the Lord's salvation? So for me, it was practical theology. It was evangelism. It was processing Christian history, Lutheran history in ways that helped us to see why our original name of our synod was the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Missouri, Ohio, and other states, because ultimately, that's why we're here. Yes, I rejoice that we feed, nurture those already in the faith, but I want to be one of those who helps to disciple others so that we're adding to the number of those being saved.
Where did that journey take you after what sounds like an excellent seminary formation? Where did that journey take you post-seminary into the parish?
First call was an associate in Nashville, Tennessee, Our Savior Lutheran, a place with just solid people, great heart, had a history of planting a couple of mission churches. While there, I was able to engage them in international missions. We did mission trips every year. but also recognizing and putting their finger better on the pulse of their community. It led us to, as a church of about less than 350 people, we took on building a school through eighth grade and a new sanctuary that would hold 500 people simultaneously. And so that was my first endeavor. I didn't get the privilege of growing up in Lutheran schools, but I was blessed to be given a helpmate and my wife, Martha, who is a rostered teacher and was greatly influenced by that, as well as, you know, learning and having friends alongside of me that their formation was happening long before in Lutheran schools. So that was the first of my venture into having Lutheran school ministry. That school got up and going in my tenure there over about 6 years. And then I was in Fort Myers. There we started a preschool from nothing as well as another means to serve the community, to be a bridge, to share daily Christ and the gospel with not only the children, but through relationships with the families. And then I was called to a mission start with 13 people outside of the villages in a dot of a town called Oxford. And we grew. And after 8 years, we built our first facility. And a month after that, I announced we were studying opening an early learning center. They called me crazy. But, you know, when you're next to the nation's largest retirement community, which probably at that point was 130,000 retirees, and we have now there a preschool that has 119 full-time children in it every day. So, yeah, it's led me three parishes until I was elected as district president. And all along, it's just trying to know your community, know the needs of the people, identify your congregation's unique giftedness and calling, and help guide them to clarity of what that mission and vision is so that we can accomplish that which the Lord's given us.
We'll learn more about Pastor Rocky's role as president of the Florida Georgia District in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
KFUO Radio has proclaimed Christ crucified and risen for more than 100 years, and you have helped make it possible. As Share-a-thon approaches April 30th through May 2nd, we invite you to partner with us again. Your gifts sustain faithful Lutheran teaching, worship, and encouragement for listeners everywhere. Join the mission at kfuo.org.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we're talking with Pastor James Rocky. He serves as president of the Florida Georgia District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We are in our Getting to Know the Council of Presidents series. And so we're talking with President Rocky of Florida Georgia District about growing up in Florida and going through seminary and serving as a parish pastor and getting to be a part of congregations growing and reaching out and serving in their community. Now we get to learn about your role as district president. Tell us about what you do, what you get to do as district president for the Florida Georgia District.
It's been quite interesting to find the number of different ideas that are out there as to the role of district presidents. And I would say probably to some extent, it can vary a little bit from district to district. But at the heart, one of the things that somehow I captured or understood early on, I think it may have come all the way back to college when the district president then, Dr. Lloyd Behnken, used to make rounds of the Concordias to visit the sons and daughters of this district. He treated us still as his parishioners. And so I kind of had that idea in my heart, you know, being a pastor to the workers. And that's certainly to the pastors, but it's we have more commission workers than we have pastors in the district. And so trying to walk with them, knowing that they have one who is praying for them, supporting them, there to continue to disciple, encourage them, as well as other ecclesiastical responsibilities and role at times I may have. With that, I guess for me is helping to live out and fulfill the vision or mission of the district. And by district, I don't mean the office. I mean the people identified and known as in the congregations as well that are the Florida Georgia District. It's ours together. I just happen to be the president who helps to give that clarity, give counsel, give guidance and resources that can help us to live out how we connect people to Jesus. It can help us to be serious about recognizing. So I'll lead you maybe into a little bit of where my heart is right now. But you already heard me talk about, you know, the original name of our church, you know, the Evangelical Lutheran Church. We still are called to be that. Jesus still said, "You will be my witnesses." We still have that call upon us as the people of God to go, or as you are going, make disciples. So how are we doing and adding to God's family, those being saved? And our district has launched just this January a mission advancement initiative with the intent to raise $10 million that we will endow, which we've not done this before. And it'll allow us to perpetually do three things: plant new churches, at least two a year, that'll give us the funding to do those kind of grants, provide new outreach ministry grants to help congregations start new outreach ministries outside the doors of their congregation. And third is to raise up new workers. So those things are critical. Florida, Georgia alone has 10% of the nation's population. 23.5 million people live in Florida, 11 million in Georgia. We need to grow. We need to reach those who are without Christ. In regards to helping congregations, sometimes, you know, we can become somewhat inwardly focused. We're caring for one another, loving one another, being fed on word and sacrament, but helping them learn how to live out their vocation daily as his witnesses. And so that's the second piece where we will generate out of that endowment, up to $100,000 a year for new outreach ministry grants. And then for new workers, we've gone from 3 years ago having 8 students we were supporting, this year 25. We anticipate that growing substantially, and we want to have additional funds that we can provide additional scholarship or financial support to minimize the burden, make sure we're removing as much as we can, at least, hindrances that might keep a young man or woman or someone later in life from deciding to study and prepare for full-time ministry. All of that feeds back to, it's always about the mission of Christ. It's always about our Lord makes it very clear. He desires all mankind to be saved. And so trying to take that serious and lead this district forward.
Sounds like a lot of very exciting things happening in the Florida, Georgia district. A lot of things, as you mentioned, you as a servant leader are guiding that process for the district. You mentioned that you had a previous career. How did your previous experience, both in your previous career and going through those three congregations, prepare you to do the work that you're doing today?
I love remembering that God's not done with me yet, like any of us. It also then can quickly point us to the process of sanctification, that we are continuing to be molded and shaped to be more like Jesus, to be the people of God we've been called to be. And so those experiences have given me, whether it's the Allstate days of managing a staff and multi-million-dollar budget, dealing with people in the midst of, it was personal lines insurance, so midst of accidents where their car is destroyed, they may have even lost a loved one, or serious injury, or dealing with homeowners in the midst of their home being destroyed by floods or fires or whatever, and walking alongside of them, even in the midst of that in a secular type position, but demonstrating the love and compassion of Christ. And sometimes he even opened doors for that to move beyond that. And I was happy to be able to do that. Also, though, one of the things that I'll jump to in the midst of that was the gift of being a layman who was active in the church, to see things from that side, serving as vice president, evangelism chair, training small group leaders, leading small groups, was truly all those years part of how God was molding and shaping me. But a lot of it was really leadership, working with people, striving for good, clear, excellent communication. Those things make a difference when you're trying to guide people forward. So a little bit there.
Earlier, you mentioned church planting churches in the Florida, Georgia district. Tell us a little bit about that. And what you mentioned, a goal of 2 per year. Tell us a little bit more about your hopes and dreams for planting churches in the Florida, Georgia district.
So I just mentioned where the population is. We're 192 congregations right now. We just charted a new Haitian Lutheran church 3 weeks ago. But the reality is right now we've identified, either working with congregations or other potential core groups, 17 locations right now where we believe there is some prime opportunity for a church plant. And the reality is church plants, new churches, reach more new believers than existing congregations. It's just statistical. It can be as high as a 17-to-1 ratio. When somebody new comes to faith, you kind of get it. It's almost like Paul's talking about in 2 Corinthians about Christ's love compels us. And it's almost like you can't help but, right, want to tell somebody and invite them and say, you gotta come hear this. Almost like, you know, Nathaniel, you know, just come and see, come and see. So this goal, we'll set aside 6 million of the 10 to be endowed for the church planting, even at just 5% growth a year. That'll free up $300,000 a year. We're looking at $150,000 church planting grants, but they're also matching grants. So that group of people or that church or circuit will match that. So there's a substantial fund that could be used over a 3 to 5 year period to lead this forward. It's vital for us to stay focused on recognizing that if you drive around Florida, you can hardly go on any road, highway without seeing new neighborhoods and opportunities. And that's even without even considering those who are outside of the family of faith currently and understand the grace of our Lord that you and I know and preach and share. So, but yeah, that kind of gives you a little bit. And we brought on a new mission exec as our prior one retired. He's hitting the road hard. God is working in and through him as an experienced church planter and one who's done revitalization to help both existing congregations, but identify these places and the core groups and people that ultimately will raise up new congregations so we can reach new people and see them celebrate also, as I noted earlier, the joy of the Lord's salvation.
It sounds like you have a lot of joy in serving as a pastor and leader in the LCMS. So why are you a pastor in the LCMS today?
Because we have the hope and we have the truth of the gospel and understand the beautiful free gift of grace, that it's not what we do, it's what he's done. And that simple message of both understanding our need, our brokenness, our sin, and God's amazing, in spite of all of that, his unconditional, unceasing love, and this beautiful gift that he offers to all people, regardless of how far they have strayed, what they have done. And so that still drives me. We have that truth. And one of the joys of late is interacting in a number of congregations where they're seeing young men and women who are looking for something that will endure and last. And in the process of that, they're searching the early Christian church. They're sometimes searching early church fathers. And then they're finding that the LCMS at least is one place where they're finding that's still the truth that we're proclaiming and boldly sharing. So let's go forward and keep doing it boldly.
All right. I want to go back to the lightning round. Some of the things that you shared in the lightning round. I won't steal the one that I bet Sarah's going to ask. So I'm going to go with office supply. You chose paper to print things on because so many things are on the computer. How much has technology changed over time during your course as a pastor and now president. How has technology changed and how does that impact what you do on a daily basis, especially as a pastor who cares for so many church workers?
28 years ago, being ordained, certainly we had email and we had, you know, certainly a computer, you know, for typing, word processing. But one of the main things, I mean, it's a beautiful tool, efficient. I type faster than I write, and it's also more readable. So maybe that's helpful for those who get the other end of it. But here's the reality. It's hard, or at least it takes effort, to create boundaries and parameters of when you're at work and when you're not. Because, you know, many of us, we have our email and text and everything else on our phone. And, you know, people can reach you at all hours. And I get it. I still do see myself as a shepherd pastor. So I want to be available for those. But I need to also balance that so that I tend to my ministry at home with my wife and to my adult children that are out of the home. And so that's a major thing. Is there's some beautiful tools there, but we manage those so they don't manage us.
All right. I want to know more about where you like to fish. You mentioned the seafood twice. I know.
I thought you were going to go for the book.
No, I already know. Right. I know about the book. Okay. We've talked about it in a Ladies Lounge episode. That book came up when we talked with Dr. Kleining, the book on prayer. He also quoted that book. So it is an excellent book. No, I want to talk about the fishing. It came up twice. Catching fish and the beach. I do love the beach. So do you have a favorite place to go fishing?
I do. Unfortunately, I don't live as near to the coast as I used to. I'm an hour to the west coast, an area called Crystal River. So if you ever hear about manatees, you'll probably hear about Crystal River. But I put in literally, I drive all the way where there's a boat ramp on the Gulf, and I have a, you know, little 16-foot center console, and I can put in, and I fish on what's called the flats. It's anywhere from 3 to 8 feet of depth in this area. It only gets a foot deeper every mile out I go, literally. So I fish for sea trout, redfish, Spanish mackerel, summer pompano, and some other things. Maybe if the weather's good enough, I might get out to some grouper grounds. But and then in the summer, I scallop. You can swim, snorkel, and pick up bay scallops off the grass, clean them, and enjoy a fine meal of scallops.
What time is dinner?
For me, probably normally about 7.
Okay. Sea trout and strawberry shortcake.
Yeah, and there
scallops.
You go.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Man, see, this is why I love this series. I get to know so much about the district presidents and the
true.
Vice presidents.
Yeah, good luck going down to the cafeteria and asking for fried scallops for your lunch.
Our guest today, the Reverend James Rocky. He serves as president of the Florida, Georgia District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor Rocky, thanks so much for joining us today.
My privilege. Thank you for what you're doing, and may the Lord continue to bless us as we honor him and serve him, that his kingdom may truly grow.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.